I'm walking on the Seine River's wide bank in central Paris and looking at one of the pictures of a free exhibition that aims to predict what the city will look like in 50 years and how it will adapt and fight global warming. Fittingly enough, it's a boiling hot day today, with temperatures reaching 32 degrees Celsius, 10 degrees more than what Parisians should expect mid-September. There's only a handful of people basking in the sun, while the rest of us are fighting for a spot under the shade. Julien Desplat, a climate scientist with Météo France, tells me things will get worse in the coming years.
For the Paris region, it's expected that temperatures will rise from 1 to 2 degrees by 2050 and could rise by 5 to 6 degrees by the end of the century, under the pessimistic scenario in the rise of greenhouse gas emissions. With this temperature increase, we expect an increase of the number of extreme weather events, essentially heat waves. In Paris, there is currently an average of one day of heat wave a year. In the context of climate change, we can expect 10 to 21 days of heat wave by the end of the 21st century.
10 voire 21 jours par an de mise en vigilance orange canicule.
It's time for me to cross the river, where I have an appointment with Patrick Klugman, in charge of foreign relations for Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo. Hidalgo has made the fight against global warming one of the cornerstones of her first 2 years in office. Several initiatives have been put in place, such as banning all cars from the city centre and closing down parts of the Seine right bank. Klugman details the mayor's plan.
We were among the first cities to adopt and enact a climate plan back in 2007. For this specific reason, we are kind of a model to many, many other cities. We want to cut by 2030 our emissions, our CO2 emissions, carbon emissions, from 40%. It's a commitment that we took with 1,000 other mayors during mayoral summit during the COP21. So it's a holistic approach. And everything has to be made to reach this goal, which is not just to save the planet. It's two things. First, cities have to take leadership because they can move faster and further than states. Second, it's a matter of public health.
Hidalgo was recently elected president of the C40, an organization that represents 80 major cities across the globe, which make up 75% of CO2 emissions. The partnership wants to tackle climate change by sharing ideas and solutions. This could even prove key in implementing the COP21 agreements that aim to stop temperatures rising more than 2 degrees from pre-industrial levels. Klugman explains this.
If the cities don't take leadership, we won't make it. That means that the Paris Agreement will remain vain. First, we have to start the movement. It's the reason why Anne Hidalgo was elected chair of the C40, which gathers the 85 biggest metropolis around the world. Globally speaking, it's 25% of the global population. From all around the world, from the global south, from Europe, if they move together, there will be a change. And no state can be away from this movement if the cities move together. And now, among the C40, green leaders, doers, transformers. So they need the tools of the transformation. So we are working really with a very, very ambitious finance plan to make the Paris Agreement into action before 2020.
But while there's talk of a fight against global warming, global cities also have to work on adaptation and resilience. In the case of an old and established city like Paris, bringing about such a change can be complicated. Erwan Cordo is the head of research on climate at the Institute for Urban Planning and Development of Île-de-France. He explains how Paris wasn't built to handle a heat wave.
Peu adapté, on s'est un peu détourné de l'environnement.
Paris isn't made for hot weather. We turned away from the environment when we built the city. We freed ourselves from nature because we could.
En apportant de la climatisation, on s'est affranchi de notre environnement.
The external environment is warmer. It will be warmer in the future, and we should bring more greenery to Paris.
Une végétalisation.
We must create new grassy areas, and if possible, have materials that can reflect light. Paris stores heat and releases it at night. During a heat wave, it's a problem because our bodies need cooler temperatures at night. The city's struggling to cool overnight.
Elle a du mal à se refroidir la nuit.
The issue here is well known and isn't just a Parisian problem. We're talking about urban heat islands, places inside cities where the temperature is significantly hotter than in the countryside. The well-known effect is partly due to a lack of green spaces and the grey and dark materials used on buildings. The effect of urban heat islands can be lessened by adding greenery and parks. Erwan Cordo.
Là, les réponses sont au cas par cas. Si on regarde à Paris, un îlot haussmannien...
The solutions are very specific to every situation. If you look at Paris, you'll see very compact and dense neighborhood blocks. You can't destroy the buildings and create parks, so we have to find different solutions. We can add vegetation to walls and add flat roofs. One can also think about the color of materials. Do we have shutters? Let's add some. There are still many common sense solutions.
On a quand même des solutions de bon sens. Voilà.
This is part of the mayor's vision. Several parks will be created in the next few years, along with an ambitious plan of adding greenery to walls. That is currently underway. Denise Puma, a renowned geographer with the Paris One University, says we should also look at local initiatives.
I think of small gardens, which are planted by inhabitants in front of their building, for instance, is interesting because both contributing to green the city and demonstrating to travelers and pedestrians that it is possible and giving ideas to imitate and develop this practice.
Back on the banks of the Seine, the mairie has installed an exhibition on the COP22 conference. One part showcases pictures of what Paris could look like in 2050. The pictures are optimistic and very green, with passerbys depicting navigating between trees and green towers. Julien Desplat agrees with this vision.
One could imagine a Paris blue, white and green. Blue because the city is currently considering watering, the humidification of pavement to generate evaporation and allow passersby to have moments of freshness. A white Paris because of urban materials that would better reflect light. This is the number one cause of urban heat islands. And a green Paris with vegetation that would fight pollution and heat.
Visions of this bright future aren't always accepted by everyone. Hidalgo's plan to close part of the right bank of the Seine has been met with a lot of criticism, with some arguing it will mean more traffic jams and more pollution. But Erwan Cordo says it's a matter of public health.
Ce que ça coûte sur la santé humaine,
a heat wave costs a lot in terms of human health. We mustn't forget that 5,000 people died in Île-de-France during the heat wave of 2003. We must take into account human health. All investments made to improve the city will be rewarded later in terms of future savings and public health.
Denise Puma expects Parisians who are known for their complaining will eventually adapt.
As against any reform, you will always find people against them. But I think it is possible. Why? Because when I arrived in Paris 50 years ago, everybody was either splitting or throwing away bus and metro tickets on the ground, and without speaking of the habit of smoking. And this has absolutely disappeared. You no longer find any metro ticket on the ground in Paris. So it is possible.
In the meantime, as the sun continues to cook the city, and while I'm waiting for it to become greener, I've decided to seek shelter under one of the trees planted next to the river. Fabien-Génique Charbonnel for RFI, in Paris.